In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and welcome to this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year A, 2026. And it doesn't matter when you listen to this podcast, because the Word of God is alive. And this podcast is really dedicated to listening to the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, and living the Word of God. The Word of God should transform us. And so in this new year, and in fact, it's a year dedicated to St. Francis from January 10th, 2026 to January 10th, 2027, Pope Leo XIV has opened up a Franciscan Jubilee year. So particularly for those involved in a Franciscan community, first, second, or third order of our Franciscans, but all of us who love St. Francis and all the many Franciscan saints, our churches and shrines and other places of worship dedicated to St. Francis and the Franciscan saints. I think of St. Clare and the Poor Clares. This is a time of joy. This is a time of transformation. This is a time of peace and for our hearts to conform more to the crucified Lord, which we're going to hear about from St. Paul today. So I just want to encourage you to be open to having St. Francis, particularly change you to be more like Christ as St. Francis did, and go to a retreat. Be involved throughout this year in Jubilee events that are connected with St. Francis. I've got some that I'm involved in the Archdiocese of Portland throughout 2026, and I'd love to see you at some of those gatherings. For this new year, 2026, what I want to do with this Faith Moments podcast, I've been praying about it and thinking about it more, is I want to go a little more deep into the different antiphons that you hear throughout the celebration of Mass, because they are so connected to the Word. So we're going to hear the Word of God, but we're also going to go into those antiphons. And I invite you to make that part of your praying the Mass, praying before Mass, reading the scriptures. You know, how do I read and really pray the Mass? Well, I think these antiphons really help us go a little bit deeper. So we're going to do that as a focus, more than just looking at the various readings in the Mass. And we're just going to call the Holy Spirit to help us to reflect. So again, we're in the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and our Mass begins with the entrance antiphon. Now, sometimes these are sung in various churches. It depends on how your parish does it. But the entrance antiphon many times is based upon a song. And today it's based on Psalm 94, or in some Bibles it might be Psalm 95, but in my Bible, I think it's Psalm 95. And I'm going to share with you this entrance antiphon. Listen to the words. "O come, let us worship God and bow low before the God who made us, for he is the Lord our God." We begin the Holy Mass with those words proclaimed. And then as we enter into the Word, the liturgy of the Word, the priest prays the collect prayer. And I've been going through this many times in this podcast. So let's hear the collect prayer for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let us pray. "Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that, relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen." And briefly, I want to go into that collect prayer, because listen, we heard first in the entrance antiphon this, "Let us worship the Lord." This is why we enter into holy masses to worship the Lord and bow before the God who made us. God is the creator. God is the source of all things. We come and unify our hearts and minds to this truth. And we call him our Lord and our God. We put ourselves under the care of God. And in this collect prayer, we're asking God to keep his family safe. We want our families to be safe, yes? With unfailing care, to constantly watch over our families, that we, relying on the hope of heavenly grace. You know, the greatest hope we have is to be in heaven. You know, we may hope for sunshine to come out. We may hope for the opportunity to get this new job. We may hope for our children to do well in their lives, but the greatest hope is heavenly grace, that we would always be defended by your protection. And so we ask for the God who made us. We ask for the God who creates everything to protect us, to defend us. And remember this prayer as you hear the scriptures, because you're going to hear this lived out in sacred scripture. So let us hear the word that is proclaimed on this fifth Sunday in ordinary time. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. The word of the Lord. The just man is light in darkness to the upright. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. The just man is a light in darkness to the upright. He shall never be moved. The just one shall be in everlasting remembrance. An evil report he shall not fear. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. The just man is a light in darkness to the upright. His heart is steadfast, he shall not fear. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His justice shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. The just man is a light in darkness to the upright. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to go back to the opening of the Mass. And again, as you are preparing to actually go to Mass, whether it's the Saturday night vigil or Sunday Mass, I really encourage you. I've been using the Magnificat really since about the year, I don't know, the early 2000s, when I was working for Modern Day Radio. We received a copy of the Magnificat every month. All of the staff got a subscription to the Magnificat. So it was my beginning of using that worship aid, because it has all of the readings for the month. It also has all of the parts of the Mass, so you can follow with the Mass. And as a new Catholic who came into the church as an adult, it helped me to follow the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And so whether it's the Magnificat or another Holy Missal, the St. Joseph Missal, you may have a missal you used as a child. You know, there's a year A, a year B, and a year C with your readings, and then it will have the different antiphons. And so here, the Magnificat, it's beautiful. I encourage you to invest some time in finding a resource that you can use. I use that subscription of the Magnificat. It's online as well. I like my book because I write in it. I highlight it when I hear a homily and I get a little inspiration. I write it in my book and then I keep them, because then I go back and look at those words again. But here's the entrance antiphon for the first Sunday in ordinary time. It's in my Magnificat, and it says Psalm 95 or 94, 6, 7, because the Psalms sometimes can be a little bit different depending on your version. So in my book, it's Psalm 95 that this antiphon is based on. So just listen to the first six verses of Psalm 95, because this is calling us to the beginning of the Mass and where our hearts and our minds should be focused on. So listen to these words. They're beautiful. "Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Cry out to the rock of our salvation. Let us greet him with our song of praise. Joyfully sing out our psalm. For the Lord is the great God, the great King over all gods, whose hand holds the depths of the earth, who owns the tops of the mountains. The sea and dry land belong to God, who made them, formed them by hand. Enter, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for this is our God, whose people we are, God's well-tended flock." Now that last verse, verse 6, is where the antiphon comes from, but I want you to hear the entrance of that particular psalm. Many times we sing, we have these an opening song, you know, at the Mass. Let us sing joyfully to the Lord. It's because we're praising God. We're celebrating. We're worshiping God. We're not making ourselves feel good to sing a song. We're worshiping the God who made us. Oh, come, let us worship God. That should be where our heart is, that where should be our focus is, that we come as a group, a community, a communion of faith. We come to unify our hearts, to be in unity, to praise the God and to worship the God, to be humble before the God who made us. So awesome. And so that entrance antiphon really is a beautiful way to open up our hearts, to put aside all of the indifferences, put aside the troubles of our day, the list of the things that we have to do, put those aside. The Lord will take care of them if you put your heart in right relationship with him. I already went over a little bit of the collect today. And so looking at the psalm, the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. And I think what comes to my ears when you hear this psalm, this is Psalm 112, there's a lot about light. And it's also reflected in our gospel reading, right? Light shines through the darkness for the upright. So what does that say to me? That says that light, when I think about light, I think about the Holy Spirit. I think about wisdom and understanding and counsel and piety, fear of the Lord, you know, those gifts of the Holy Spirit, the light of God. The light is the love of God. And that light comes through the darkness for those who are upright. So for those who live a life according to God's law, not to follow the law because I'm going to be punished and I'm going to go to hell. No, to follow the law because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to respect the dignity of the human person. It's a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do to love God and love my neighbor. You know, it's not the right thing to do to kill God and to kill my neighbor, you know, to kill with words or with actions or with deeds. And so do we live in justice? He who conducts his affairs in justice, it's there in the psalm, who is gracious and lends. Are you generous? Are you giving? Are you merciful? Are you like God? Are you loving? Are you merciful? Because we should not fear if we are in the light of God. Do we lavishly give to the poor? If you have two jackets, if you have two cloaks, do you give one to the poor? It's such a beautiful thing to remind us that we come because God loves us, because God wants to have this relationship with us. And so to be in the light is to reflect that love. In the St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, I just want to mention this because St. Paul is saying, I didn't come to be this eloquent speaker. You know, I've gone to a lot of business conferences and heard eloquent speakers, you know, and I think about the, if you're in the age of the great motivational speakers, a Zig Ziglar or a Jim Rohn or those kinds of people. But I also think of an eloquent speaker like an Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who you hear Christ coming out of every word. And Paul says, I didn't come with you with like this persuasive word of wisdom, so you would think I was so great. Oh, the great St. Paul. I came to you in fear and trembling, resembling Christ crucified, so you would believe in the power of God. Power of God. That's what you would rest on. Don't rest on, as he said before, Apollos or Cleo or any of these, you know, beginning Christians. Don't follow them. Follow Christ. And if you're going to follow Christ, Christ crucified. He is the light. And so here we have this Alleluia verse. We have this verse before the gospel. And I sung it in my very humble singing voice because we are supposed to sing the gospel acclamation if it's proclaimed. And so typically a cantor will sing this. And so this says, and it typically leads into the theme of the gospel, a gospel acclamation. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. You know, we hear the word light. We heard it in the psalm. Light meaning, how do you live your life? Is it reflecting the truth? Is it reflecting love? Is it reflecting Christ? Not self, not ego, not greed, not accumulation of things, materialistic. Are you the light of life? Are you reflecting the gifts of the Holy Spirit? That would mean in fruit. Listen to where we hear fruit in this gospel, because Jesus is telling his disciples, boy, this is beautiful. What did we hear last week, everyone? The Beatitudes. We heard about the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and this is the next verse. So we heard about these blessed are, and Bishop Robert Barron talked about blessed being happiness, that happy, this is What we desire is happiness, joyfulness, being in the presence of God. That is true happiness. It's not a nice dinner. It's not, oh, I've got these wonderful clothes or a car that runs and I'm happy. But there's a happiness that's goes beyond all understanding. It's being in the presence of God and knowing God and loving Him and knowing that He loves you. And so Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth. You're what makes things tasty. You know, you're what brings light to the world, tastiness to things, because you're reflecting Christ. You're the light of the world. We don't put a light, you don't bring a candle into the room and then cover it up. You bring a candle in the room to bring about light. And in fact, you build a city on the top of a mountain so that it could be seen. And here's the closing of the gospel. Just so your light must shine before others. Your life with Jesus, your life believing and depending upon the source of all things, God the Almighty, and that the people, the world, your coworkers, your neighbors should see your good deeds, not as your good deeds, but to glorify your Heavenly Father. You're not doing good deeds to get a check mark to say, I'm going to get to heaven if I do these good things. That's not the right intention for doing the good deeds. You do good deeds because you're filled with the love of God. You do good deeds because we love God and God loved us first. That our response to the love of God is that it overflows, that I want to be good to others. I want to care for others, even if it hurts, because others aren't necessarily going to appreciate my goodliness, my godliness, my willing to follow Christ. But I'm going to be good anyway. Whether or not you appreciate it or not, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. And that brings joy into my soul. And so listen to these last two parts of the antiphon. I want to bring these out because when we have time for Holy Communion, there is an antiphon that is prayed. And this antiphon today says this: let them thank the Lord for His mercy, His wonders for the children of men, for He satisfies the thirsty soul, and the hungry He fills with good things. You know, we turn our lives over to the source of all things. He satisfies the soul. The other antiphon that could be prayed is this, and you'll recognize these words: blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be consoled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall have their fill. You know, as we're preparing to receive the Almighty God, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we're preparing to have this intimate relationship with God. We're mournful. We're hungry. We thirst for righteousness. And we seek the one who consoles us. We seek the one who will fill us with His mighty power, with His mighty glory, with His mighty love in the Holy Eucharist. And then there's a prayer after communion. And the priest prays these words. Listen to that closing prayer. O God, who have willed that we be partakers in the one bread and the one chalice, grant us, we pray, so to live that, made one in Christ, we may joyfully bear fruit for the salvation of the world through Christ our Lord. So today, let us joyfully bear fruit for the salvation of the world through Christ our Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.